This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobond. Joining me as usual in studio at Liberty Village in downtown Toronto at the Zoomerplex, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Good. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capital Toronto Maple Leaf leaping Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Also joining us this morning, the ultimate Leafs fan, the one and only Mike Wilson. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well.
Thanks, Mike. So, thanks so much for joining us. I think we're all on a little high. We're gonna do a round table between the four of us this morning. Got a lot of topics to cover. It's the Naz and Wally's last show for 2023. We will be off the air next Sunday, Christmas Eve, and also New Year's Eve, and back early in the new year, and looking forward to coming back, and hopefully 2024 will be a fantastic year. Gentlemen, we've got a few topics we've got to get into, and also to our listeners, the good people at Pizzaville want to spread some Christmas cheer this morning. So at various times in the show, we'll be giving out those numbers and giving out $50 worth of gift coupons at Pizzaville. Well, guys, the Toronto Maple Leafs, since near the end of the second period on Thursday night, look like they want to take over the world. Last night, they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins by a touchdown, 7-0. They look pretty good. Every part of their game seemed to be on fire. They did it without Austin Matthews. They did it without TJ Brody. Naz, surprised?
No, not really, because I think Pittsburgh is on the way down. And I wouldn't want to be Kyle Dubas right now and trying to turn that thing around. That's going to be very difficult to turn it around because they got aging veterans in core positions, and it's not good. Not good at all.
And he brought in an expensive aging veteran to boot, in Erik Karlsson, and he's got some work there. Lou, your thoughts on Leafs week? They had a great game against the Rangers. Columbus, not a great start. Great game against the Penguins. Interesting finish against the Islanders earlier on in the week. Overall, not a bad week for the Leafs, Lou. What are your thoughts?
Well, no, not necessarily. It's been a pretty good year for them overall. And I know how hard we are on them, but it only comes natural because it's during the regular season, and we always critique them on what they do in the playoffs. But it just seems like I was at the game the other night, and it was like a tale of two stories. They don't show up for the first two periods, and all of a sudden they turned around the third period, and they came out like gangbusters last night. I don't think Pittsburgh's half the team of what they used to look like. They brought in Karlsson to help their offense, and I think it's really it really hasn't helped their offense, but it's hurt their defense. And Malkin and Crosby can only carry that team for so long. Kyle Dubas has got his hands full with more or less restructuring that whole organization, and the Leafs have to take the points while they can get them. They can't give away any points now.
Mike, your thoughts. Bring us up to speed on your thoughts about the Leafs. Is this you look at the standings? They're now in second place, essentially, in their division, five back of the Bruins with a game in hand, subject to a lot of criticism over the course of this year. But, they're not that far off, and they seem to be getting a little bit better at every game or so. You look at some of the, you know, Domi's upped his game, Bertuzzi's upped his game. You know, the kids on defense, Benoit Langerson, and when Timmins got back, providing some stability back there. Mike, you're the ultimate Leafs fan. Give us your take.
Well, I agree with Lou and Naz. You know, those are the games they have to win. I mean, Pittsburgh looked awful last night. And, you know, Thursday night, it's tough for teams, especially teams coming here. Lou can attest to this, you know, because this is their Super Bowl anytime they play in Toronto. And teams are always going to get up. So those games are much more difficult to win than people give the Leafs credit for. So the comeback was tremendous. They looked like a really solid team playing against the Rangers. The Islander game, you know, that's always going to be a contentious issue with John Tavares always in the lineup. So it's always going to create a lot of, you know, drama, especially playing the Islanders. But the thing I like about Toronto so far is you have to give some credit to defense. It's still very vulnerable. It's vulnerable to the outside. Did you see how many Rangers were open? Like, actually, it's funny. The announcers made a comment about, you know, just maybe, you know, just they kept things very simple and played, you know, defensively responsible. They could probably run this one home with the 4-0 lead. But then all of a sudden, you know, players were open. You know, it was a little bit of sloppy play. And, you know, Martin Jones made some great saves and, you know, kept them in the game. But I like the fact that Jake McCabe, who we've been some pretty, you know, Squid and I have been a little bit hard on him at times, but he's keeping his game simple. And he's really stepped his game up, and you can see that that's really made a big difference. So if the guys do that, you're going to get results. But they'll have their hands full tomorrow night, or again, Tuesday night against the Rangers. So they had a great test. But listen, you got to like the way they're playing. Things are going their way. And I tell you, I'd give the net to Martin Jones until
he let him run with it. Yeah, I don't. Don't disagree with you. I'd let him run with it, absolutely. And last night, let's dissect a couple of the players. We talked about Martin Jones. Naz, first Leaf player to score a Gordie Howe hat trick in 8 years.
Matthew Nyes.
Matthew Nyes. And who would have expected?
What a goal that was! A beautiful goal.
Certainly, he's got some soft hands.
Did you see the line of Domi, Nyes, and Marner? And Marner and Domi played together in London. So that's not a bad opportunity for Domi to get on that line somehow, because they work magic out there.
Certainly, Domi's game has improved significantly in the last last 2-3 weeks, no question. And Matthew Nyes, what a goal. An assist also, and they got off into a fight. And, you know, the one thing we've talked about on this show quite a bit about this Leaf team lacking, and, we talked about their lack of responsiveness, physical responsiveness with one of their teammates, is the recipient of a dirty hit. And, you know, I think it was Domi, if I'm not mistaken, got crunched into the boards.
Yeah, he lost another tooth.
And lo and behold, the rookie goes in. Sends a pretty valuable message to some of the veterans on the team, Lou. I wouldn't have expected Matthew Nyes, but good for him. Lou?
It really does. It just goes to show you that Matthew's invested in this team, and he wants to open up a few eyes because of the college game. There's really none of that going on. So it was nice that Matthew Nyes did step in for Max. And it just, you know what, it's a couple of brownie points on the rest of the team.
Mike, any thoughts on the pushback from Matthew Nyes last night? It's certainly something we've been calling for, and I think some of his teammates probably got a little bit of a message that, you know, this kid's bringing it, and, you know, maybe some of the rest of them should have the same attitude.
Well, this kid's 6'3" and over 200 pounds, so at least knew they were getting when they drafted him, and this is the type of play I think the kid they wanted to show up. Now, last night, for him to score 10 seconds after he sat out the last two games, I don't think that was expected, and his response, but This is the type of fire and this is the type of energy you need to see from teammates. And even though he had three assists last night, Tyler Bertuzzi has still not delivered anything near what he should be delivering. And I'm telling you, he may reflect back and taking that contract Detroit may have offered him a couple of years ago. He doesn't improve his play. But maybe you should watch the way Jenrock plays, who gets half the money he gets. So maybe watch this kid, watch 23 and how he's playing the game. Because he had an opportunity later, and there's another scuffle, and he came in casually and grabbed somebody from behind. I like this. He's got to be more physical. He's got to play more of a type of game like Matthew Nyes is playing. But this kid's only going to get better. You know, he can play. It looks like he can play with anybody right now when they put him out there. And that's just got to be really enlightening for Sheldon Keefe to be able to have that confidence and trust in a kid at that age to be able to play him anywhere like that. But there's a couple other guys that I'd like to see pick up and do the same.
Naz, let's
talk about Columbus.
Okay, Columbus.
You played in a game against Boston where you came back from 5 goals against the Bruins. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was just around Christmas season. I came back and beat him in the third period. The way I look at games like that, even when I coached, guys were still in the game. We got to go out in the first period, in the third period, win the first 5 minutes. If we score a goal in the first 5 minutes, that means we're, let's say, 4 goals down. But we have to score one every 5 minutes. So it's not like you try to get all of them at one time. You just peck away. And bounces just seemed to go Toronto's way that night, or especially in the third period. And then you got Austin Matthews getting a two in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Certainly we wouldn't want to, would be remiss if we didn't talk about John Tavares scoring in, was it the last 6 seconds, Naz?
6.4 seconds.
6.4 seconds, his 1,000th point in the league. And of course, that managed to get the New York Islanders faithful riled up. I didn't think they were cheering for him, Mike. Were they? But we want to congratulate John Tavares on that accomplishment. And I don't know if we want to comment on the New York Islanders fans. Do you really want to boo him? Like, really, Mike?
John Tavares has played very, very well. I thought he lost a step last year, but he seems to have gained it back and has some jump there because he's not skating the way he did last year. He's skating much better out there.
Is he, Mike, turn it over to you. John Tavares is, who's a better fit on his line? Is it? It seems like the Leafs are playing better with Nylander on Matthews' line and Marner on Tavares' line.
Well, you don't get 1,000 points in National Hockey League. And again, Luke can attest to this. You don't, without having some skill, okay? And you don't have, I mean, John Tavares may have lost a step or maybe a little bit slower, but his skating has always been an issue. Even when they were going to draft him first overall. So keep that in mind, fellas. But the fact is, with hands like that in vision, the way he sees the ice, and he's made a lot of hockey players a lot of money over the years who weren't very good to start with, and he's made them a whole lot better. So a player of his ability can play with anybody, and that's what the Leafs have got. He's a point-of-game player, and they should be just thrilled to death to have him. But I just want to say one thing about the Islander fans. I know New York fans love to have the reputation to be rude, ignorant, and loud, and all that kind of stuff, but that was disgraceful. First off, starting with the national anthem, which was a joke, and then the fans booing at the end. What a bunch of classless idiots. Like, those nitwits, didn't they realize that two-thirds of Tavares' points came playing for them? They should be jumping up, down, and cheering the fact that he was one of them for most of his career. So, but regardless, we've got him now. We've had him probably got a cup for a couple more years. And I'll tell you what, you know, you just anybody on that team, that's the other thing that Sheldon Keefe has in his back pocket, that he can put anybody on that ice with him. I know I'm avoiding your question, but it doesn't matter whether it's Nylander or Marner. Either one of them will thrive playing with 91.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I accept your basic premise. You don't score 1,000 points in the NHL without having some significant talent. And I mean, it's it seemed fitting that he did it on the island, given all those years. But given it would have been better if he did it in Toronto. You know, it would have been. I think it would have been something really nice for John, that it be celebrated properly at the exact time that it happened. So, but he's got the 1,000 points, and Leafs look like they're on a bit of a roll heading into the Christmas break. As you said, Mike, we've got a tough one up coming up against the Rangers, and we get a chance to see if we can reverse the verdict against Columbus. Let's talk about the goaltending shortly before we go to break. Samsonov, charitably, I would say his performances have been inconsistent. The Boo Birds are calling for him to see more more of the bench than the actual ice. Obviously he seems to be not playing his best at times. Certainly, the first two periods against Columbus. That was, you can blame his defense. He was hung out to dry quite a few times on some of those goals, but he certainly didn't seem to help the situation. I don't know how long before Wohl gets back, but he was playing really well before he got hurt. And Martin Jones has stepped up like a veteran. He looks unflappable out there. He may not be an all-world goalie, but, they've thrown him out in a couple of situations, and he looks pretty steady out there, Nat. So,
he played 48 games with Seattle last year. He went to the second round of the playoffs, so he must be doing something right.
So,
and he's a veteran goalie, you can tell out there. He's very calm and cool, and a perfect fit for the timeout that we're going to have with Wohl.
Lou, and then I'll turn it over to you, Mike. Pending the return of Joseph Wohl, what does Sheldon Keefe do? Does he run with Martin Jones as his number one goalie? And unless it's a back-to-back, Samsonov sees more of the bench pending Jones's performances? Or you throw Samsonov back out there to see if he can reestablish some confidence, because on a go-forward basis, Leafs are presumably headed to the playoffs and hopefully to, beyond the first, second, and third round. How big a part of that does Samsonov have to be for the Leafs to be successful? Lou, and then you, Mike.
Well, one thing here is salary is going to have a lot to do with it. Martin Jones is making a minimum. Samsonov is making $4.5 million. When you put a goalie in of Martin Jones' stature, he's been around the league a while. All you're asking for him is to make all the simple saves and come up with a big save where it might change the game once in a blue moon during one of those. Now, with Samsonov, I don't know if they can afford to more or less blow any more points if he comes up with the inconsistencies that he's had this year. So if I was them, I would send probably Samsonov down to the minors for a couple of weeks, try to get his game straight, and keep Martin Jones and Wohl up there for a while.
Mike, you still with us?
I think I'm having some technical problems. Yeah. You guys are coming in pretty bad, pretty faded. But if you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All I'm going to say about Marty Jones is he's played 450 games in the National Hockey League, so this is no rookie. And just look at his calmness in the net. He just stands back there, and you can see the players almost a little bit more relaxed themselves, knowing that he's very calm, and like he jumps on rebounds. He doesn't give a lot. And that's very reassuring for the players back there, knowing that he's going to make that initial save. And if they clear the guy in front of the net and he's going to jump on the rebound, that's another plus for the Toronto defense. And there's no coincidence that they've had two solid games against the Rangers and again last night, Pittsburgh, with Marty Jones in net. And the other thing I'll say about Samsonov, he has his spurts, his moments of hot and cold. Washington let him go for no reason at all. You got to keep that in mind. But, he can't give up on the guy. The guy is going to be playing for a contract, but at some point, you've got to let him play, but maybe set him down, as Lou said, and let him get his confidence back again. But I think you just got to give the net to Marty Jones until they see otherwise. And I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, I don't see any question about that. I mean, he's just played too good. Not so much too good, but too steady. And I agree with you, Mike. He seems to be inspiring. The team seems to be playing with more confidence. And, hockey's all about that. If you got a goalie that a team is confident about, the team plays better. Everybody plays better. They take more chances. They play with more confidence. Lou, before we go to break, comment on that. How much difference does a goalie play? It's not even so much about him and him, stopping pucks. It does make the team play better, doesn't it, if they have confidence in their goalie?
It really does, because you play a lot more looser. You really never want to play tight, knowing that you don't know if the goalie's going to make a big save or he's going to make any stop at any time. When you got a guy like Martin Jones who's been around the league a while, he, like everybody said, he makes the simple play.
he gives the team confidence, knowing that that the guys, once he makes that save, that they can go out and more or less counteract the other team. So I like the way he's played the last couple of games. Now we'll see how long this lasts, and we'll see if Sheldon Keefe is going to keep going with Martin Jones, or is he going to give Samsonov one more chance before Wolf comes off the IR?
We'll wrap up our Leafs talk with that. We are going to take it to break. Mike, I know we were having a little technical problems with your phone. We'll get our producer Owen to see if we can straighten that out during the break. I'm sure we can. Before we go to break, we promised that the good people at Pizzaville wanted to spread some Christmas cheer. We got some $50 gift coupons we want to give away. I'll give you the numbers. Many of you know them already. Got some repeat winners on these things. Let's see if we can get some new winners today. It's area code 416-360-0740 and toll free 1-866-740-4740. We're going to take it to break, and when we come back, big game down in Western New York today, Naz, the Bills and the Cowboys. We'll talk about that. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared,
"We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best.
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Any team worth cheering for has fans worth listening to. A super fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour is MDF Mechanical, who sends a big shout-out to Naz and Wally on 10 years of memorable sports talk. MDF Mechanical speaks from experience in stating that a decade is a milestone worth marking. They themselves are celebrating over 35 years in the plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical design build contracting business. From MDF Mechanical to Naz and Wally, the best sports team on radio, thank you for 10 years of calling it the way you see it.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live video and audio streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. Thanks to all the listeners. I tell you, Naz, there must be a lot of Pizzaville fans out there, because as soon as we give away those coupons, the phones blast off. Thanks for calling in. We're giving a couple away, and we'll try and give a few more at the rest of the show. Thanks for calling in. In the house, not in the house, but on the line today with Naz and I is Lou Franceschetti and Mike Wilson. Just had a spirited breakdown of the Toronto Maple Leafs, guys. So let's go a little bit down towards the other side of the Golden Horseshoe, Western New York. A huge game today, Naz. The Bills snuck one out last Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. They won.
You know when they say,
you know when they say you win by your toenail. They literally and figuratively did last Sunday against the Chiefs, which cost Andy Reid $100,000, and I think it cost Mahomes $50,000. But we got, you know what, we've been us Bills fans, unfortunately, had to take the brunt of some unfortunate, unlucky events this year, and some questionable game management, but we finally had luck break our way last Sunday.
They celebrated the Argo,
the Argo toenail.
The Argo toenail.
Anyways, I know the Kansas City
the
people
Argo
weren't
bounce,
too
it was called, too, well,
weren't
the
too
bounce.
The Argo bounce. They weren't too thrilled about that, but we got the result we needed, and now we're back into it again today, down in Orchard Park. Another must win game. The Buffalo Bills continue to be the team, and they're actually favorites today, which I found a bit surprising.
2.5, right? I think.
Given the fact that Dallas dusted off the Philadelphia Eagles pretty easily last Sunday, the Bills are still favorites today. So the odds makers, they're still loving these Bills, Ness.
Yeah, they do, and they seem to be favored all the time, except for one occasion this year against Kansas City. They've been favored most of the time. And it's going to be an interesting quarterback matchup with Dak Prescott and Josh Allen going at it. Should be a lot of footballs in the air.
Yeah, it certainly is. So you know, the Bills are in the thick of it. I'll turn it over to Mike. Mike, Bills, you know, they seem to be the team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs, but they have to make the playoffs. And, you know, after the loss to the Eagles, I almost looked at the schedule and said, you pretty well got to run the table for the Bills to make the playoffs. There's so many 7-6 teams in the AFC, and the Bills they fall on the wrong side of the tiebreakers. Your assessment, is this team going to go into the playoffs? They're going to beat Dallas today? What are your thoughts on the Bills?
Well, the thing about the Bills is, first off, you've got to remember, all the teams we cheer for seem to give us the heartache. Like, that play last week with KC at the end of the game could only happen to Buffalo. I mean, that's the same type of thing that happens to the Leafs, happens to the Blue Jays. So we seem to be jinxed, you guys, cheering for this team. And I know Lou doesn't all the time. But having said that, you know, they've been on the wrong side of, I think they've lost, Naz will probably correct me wrong, right? Three games less than 6 points, and in the last 2 minutes of the game, they are pretty good ball club, but they are missing some key players on defense. They've managed to fight their way back. The schedule, if they can win today, now Dallas, up until last week, I think that's the first team they've beaten that's over 500 so far this year. And, you know, they always give you a field goal at home to the home team. So it looks like if you look at it that way, from a gambling standpoint, and I'm just going by past records on this, Dallas is actually favored probably by half a point according to the bookies. But having said all of that, I think if the Bills basically, if they win today, they get a good shot to run the table. And I kind of hope they do, because I'll be in Florida with Deb January 7th, and we're going to go to that Miami game. And I got another good buddy of mine, Andy Tockett, who's planned up and going down there too. So we've got a group of us that are going to be there. So hopefully they can win today and win out.
Hopefully you get a chance to pack your Buffalo Bills paraphernalia. So we want you down at that Miami game, and we want you cheering your heart out.
So do I. Yes, exactly.
We hope it comes to pass. Lou, I know that Naz and I have done a good job over the years of turning you into a Buffalo Bills fan. your comment, I'd like to get your comment as a former professional athlete. There was a lot of debate shortly after the game about whether the referee should have made that call. I mean, the gist of it was that I can't remember the kid's name, Tony, was that his last
name?
Yeah. He lined up offside, and there's no issue that he lined up offside, but he was just minimally offside. In I think his maybe half of his foot was offside, but with the technology you have nowadays, I mean, it was pretty clear. They didn't challenge the fact that he was offside. And then And the ref threw the flag immediately. So we knew when Mahomes stepped back, something was going to happen. And then there was a miracle, you know, and the Buffalo Bills seemed subject to all these miracles. In fact, the miracle on Music Street was in the news this week because Frank Wycheck passed away from the remember that one, Nez? The music,
Tennessee game.
Yeah, he passed away this week. He was the guy who threw it. So the Bills over the years have we've been on the bad side of so much bad luck. It seems like, and then you got that play where Kelsey, Mahomes throws to Kelsey, and then Kelsey he throws it to another guy, and they get a touchdown. I said, oh my God, here we go again. Buffalo Bills, how much of this can we take? And then it gets called back, and somehow the Buffalo Bills stop them. And then Mahomes and Andy Reid said some things that they probably regret and cost them a little bit of money. Lou is a professional athlete, as a student of football, watch, and now as a Buffalo Bills fan. Is that the right call? Does the ref make that call, or does he warn him and say, don't do it again? There was some debate about that.
You know what? It was a call that you very, very rarely see. I can understand the frustration that the KC went through. I would have gone through the same thing if I was on that team. I don't know where Andy Reid says that the referee has a chance to tell him to step back on the play. If you look at last night's game with Denver, on the touchdown there, the centerman's head was over the ball. He called him offside. So it's frustrating on KC's part, but he made the right call because he was offside, and it just happened at the most opportune time for them. If it would have happened earlier, we don't know if he would have made the same call. So, well, you know, a penalty is a penalty.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I will, Naz and then Mike really quickly, then look at the reverse side of this. First of all, my understanding is talking to a good friend of my partner and a good friend of mine, Pittsburgh Steeler fanatic. Apparently the players, this isn't the first time it's been called this year, and I wasn't aware of this, but you know, apparently earlier in the season, the teams have been warned by the referees. So they've been put on, players have been put on notice. Don't line up offside. May not have been put on notice in this specific game, but at various times during the course of the season, they've been warned, if you're going to line up offside, we're going to call a penalty. And then the other part about this, why the refs have to call it. Number one, the ref had no idea what was going to happen on that play. No. I mean, it was it's like buying a lottery ticket that the end result was what it was. So chances are, when the ref throws the flag, it's probably going to be an innocuous play, a 3-4 yard dump, whatever, and nobody says boo. But let's think about the reverse, Mike. What happens? They run that play. The ref doesn't make the call. And then the Buffalo fans and the Buffalo coaching staff go crazy, don't they, Mike?
Well, absolutely. And by the way, it came out right after that player, Tony, had been lining up that offside all game. So it wasn't the first time he did it. And he was doing it all the time quite consistently. So, and Reid, I know, said that they usually get a warning. But as you said earlier, they did get a warning earlier in the year. And, you know, at that time of the game with so much on the line, they're going to call everything. And, you know how Buffalo reacted. And again, as we said at the beginning of this, all of us reiterated it, is the fact that usually that call goes against Buffalo. So for once, one went in their favor.
Where did we get one?
And I have no problem taking it whatsoever. That's what the rules are there for. The rules are there to be called and enforced by the referee, and they did. And, you know, case closed, put it behind you, and move on. And focus on Dallas today. That's the main focus.
Naz, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Lou. Please, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if somebody up top informed the coaching staff down on the field to let the referees know that Tony was lining off offside most of the game, to inform them just to preclude it.
Well, that could very well be possible. I don't think anybody's admitted to that. I didn't see any reports where that actually came up in the conversation. Naz, did you see anything?
No, I'm not sure how that happened, but probably did. Who knows, right?
Well, I mean,
because you know, referees call the same referee makes the same or different referees make that same call or different calls. You know what I'm saying from game to game.
Who knows? I'm curious if any reporter asked the Buffalo coaching staff after the game that question, or if they even asked the Buffalo Bills, would they admit to it that they actually? I would think if they noticed it, why not point it out to the refs? Wouldn't you, Ness?
Sure, for sure, it would be better beneficial to the team. And right. Look what happened; it did happen. Right?
Maybe the refs, as Mike said, it's you know what happened. That's what the rules say. The refs have no obligation to warn a player. You got to comply by the rules.
Hey, Wally, how about this? Here, think about this. 1993 Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah,
LA
Marty
McSorley.
Yeah, the stick.
The stick, okay? The stick, yeah. So you know what? It happens. And, you know, and remember Gretzky went nuts on McSorley because they warned everybody to check your sticks. And, you know, he didn't. And they called it. And look what happened.
Yeah, so like I said, going back to the original way I started this conversation, thank God we finally got a call. And it keeps us in the thick of the race.
We're known as a Hail Mary away from losing a game. That's what we're known for.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all the Hail Mary passes that the Bills have had against them?
Said,
it's scary.
I you know what? When I'm watching the game and I didn't see the ref throw the flag. Although I think it was Jim Nance and Romo were doing the game, and I think they said. I didn't hear it, but in the replay I heard it that they actually said there's a flag, like right away. But I didn't notice it. And then yep. I just watched that play. I watched that play assuming it was a good play. And then I thought, Travis Kelce throws like a quarterback, throws the
ball. That was a great throw.
They should have more plays that use him as a quarterback option. But he throws that, and the guy runs into the end zone, and I'm just shaking my head. I go,
again?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I go, like, you know, we got 13 seconds. We got 59 yards. Everything that goes wrong with the Bills, finally. I think this is an omen, Naz. I think this is an omen. I think this can turn around our season. I go, what a Hollywood story that would make. Can you imagine the Bills go on a run, they make the playoffs, and they run to the Super Bowl all because some guy's toe was was lined up a little bit too far.
Because if they had lost that game, there's no way.
They would have been done,
right?
You know.
No way.
I just can't imagine.
But I think the Jets are going to knock off Miami today.
Hopefully.
Because their defense is quite good.
Yeah.
And they beat Houston 30-6 last week. So.
Anyways, we're gonna take it to
break. You know what, Wally? Can I say one more thing about this is the fact that, keep in mind, Buffalo was moving the ball all day against Kansas City, and the first thing that went through my mind was I conceded the field goal and would take it overtime. But as soon as they scored, I thought, okay, great. They scored quick. There's still over a minute on the clock. Allen's going to have a drive, and they're going to go down and win it. That's the first thing. As he crossed that goal line, that's the first thing that went through my mind is they still got lots of time on the clock to go down the field, and they've been moving the ball all day. So you know what? Who knows what would have happened? I like to have seen it played out the Leafs. So the Bills would have broken their hearts the same way KC got them a couple of years ago.
I will say, though, and I was furious when it was happening during the game, the way the Buffalo coaching staff handled the clock right around the two-minute warning when they were throwing passes instead of killing the clock, I said, what are they doing? They were in a position where they needed to run the clock down. You don't want to give the ball back to Mahomes, although it worked out in the end. But, you know, all over the internet, people were lambasting the Buffalo coaching staff, saying,
they had four plays
and used up like 13 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what
Crazy.
Are you doing?
Crazy.
Like, what are you doing? But you know what? They pay McDermott a lot more money than they pay me. So, and I'm not going to. I guess we can fairly criticize. I'm not going to challenge his football knowledge, but it was just bad clock management. And I said, this is another example of what kills the Bills. And they managed to overcome that one.
It started a few years ago with the KC game. They said, why didn't they go offside? If they'd gone offside, it's a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah.
And it would have moved the clock those few more seconds, and they wouldn't have been able to make that play. So he's been under criticism for his clock management for years. So this is not new.
Yeah. We're going to take it to break. We're going to come back. going to talk about going to go around the horn with all you guys, what you consider to be the top sports stories of 2023. And we're going to spend a few minutes talking about what we'd like to see happen in 2024, what's important to each of us. And we're going to give away some more Pizzaville coupons. So we'll give a couple more away. The two callers, we're hot in Cambridge this morning, Naz. The ratings must be huge in Cambridge. Our first two callers are from Cambridge. Pat and Julius from Cambridge won the first couple of Pizzaville coupons. Julius, I know we sort of mixed up the last one that you won, so we'll send you an extra one to make up for our mistake. So we'll take care of you there. And we'd like to have two new callers, and we'll give away some more Pizzaville coupons. We'll be right back with our last 13 minutes of the year.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared,
"We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best.
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian, authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
Any team worth cheering for has fans worth listening to. A super fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour is MDF Mechanical, who sends a big shout out to Naz and Wally on 10 years of memorable sports talk. MDF Mechanical speaks from experience in stating that a decade is a milestone worth marking. They themselves are celebrating over 35 years in the plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical design build contracting business. From MDF Mechanical to Naz and Wally, the best sports team on radio, thank you for 10 years of calling it the way you see it.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, 96.7 FM downtown Toronto, and live video and audio streaming at zoomerradio.ca. Joining us this morning, Lou Franceschetti and the Ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. We've got 12 minutes left. It's our last show of the year. We'll be back early in the new year. And I want to take this opportunity, because I know I get rushed at the end of the show, and I want to make sure I don't miss this. There's certain sponsors that have been instrumental in keeping us on the air and supporting our show, and we couldn't do this show without them. The good people in John Amendola and Kathy Amendola at Mintink, the good people at KPMG and Miller Thompson, our good friend Angelo at MDF Mechanical and Venture Construction, and of course, our chief sponsor, the only reason we've been able to do this for 10 years. The Contardi family has been incredibly loyal to us and have supported us from day one, and we can't thank them enough. of course, are fantastic and good people at Pizzaville. Get an opportunity. Please support them. I know our lines when we give away Pizzaville coupons light up like crazy, Naz. So I know you'd like an opportunity to thank our sponsors as well.
Yeah, thank you very much for all of the support. And hopefully next year will be a better year. And then Morgan Riley will lead the Leafs to the Stanley Cup. How's that one, Wally?
Well, Morgan Riley, of course, he's the Pizzaville spokesperson. So since he joined the Pizzaville fold last year, he's upped his game. So I got to think that Pizzaville's had something to do with it.
We were talking about Riley. He's 6'3", but you would never know it. He doesn't look it on the ice, but you've been beside him and said you looked up with
him. I had an opportunity to spend the morning with Morgan Riley about a month ago, which... you know, over the course of the next few weeks, listeners might find out why. I actually taped a commercial with him for Pizzaville. I was surprised. I didn't think he was that tall, but when I was standing next to him, I had to look up at him. So he's a big boy, and he's rock solid. Morgan Wright. So once again, thanks to all our sponsors. Thanks to Zoomer Radio, they've put up with us for 10 years, and importantly, as much of all of that, thanks to our listeners. You know, when some of you guys call in for these Pizzaville coupons, these are names I recognize, like from 10 years ago. Like some of you guys have been with us since day one. Naz and I joke about it. You know, we've been having fun doing this for 10 years, and it seems like we've got a few listeners that have been pretty loyal as well. So. Thanks so much for that. Guys, let's get into it. We've got 10 minutes left. Let's go around the table. Naz, the top sports story of 2023.
No question about this. Nick Taylor, Canadian Open, and I was there. I didn't witness the shot, but I saw it from home. I left early, but Wally was right there and saw it on the green.
Yeah, well,
Nick Taylor, for sure, no question.
I'll reserve my comments. I'll take the four spot in this conversation. I'll turn the two spot over to you, Mike.
Well, I would agree with Naz on that as one of the top stories, but I think because none of our teams were involved in it, I can't go that way. So I'm going to have to say. Jamal Murray leading the Denver Nuggets to the NBA championship and then Team Canada. That can't be recognized how significant that is. But I think the bigger story on an underlying moment would be LIV Golf with PGA. And I think only from the standpoint with that Saudi money coming in, you know, sports are copycat leagues. And it'd just be a matter of time before they step into one of the next professional sports and get themselves involved. So I would think that's very significant from that standpoint because, you know, guys, money drives everything.
Yeah. Mike, you did a good job of checking off box 2, 3, and 4 on my list. So I got it right here. If you're watching on the internet, yeah, it's on my list. Don't be sorry. Just means that we think alike. Lou, what boxes you want to check off?
Well, I think you guys both hit the nail on the head there with LIV coming in. You know, athletes are money driven, and they're going to follow it wherever it goes. And also the sad story about Christine Sinclair retiring from soccer.
You just hit my next one on my list, Lou. You're doing a great job, guys. I'll take this one. For me, the top story of the year and the top story during my entire 10 years, it was an experience beyond belief for me to watch Nick Taylor win the Canadian Open with a 72-foot putt. And I was standing right next to the green at a course, Oakdale. That meant the world to me because I caddied there from the age of 8 to 12. You can believe that nowadays. To go back to Oakdale for the second time in 60 years and to see it happen there. I was actually standing behind Mike Weir and Corey Connors when it happened. And I was just overcome. I know we've talked about this on the air, and they interviewed me on the morning show the following morning. I just didn't know what to do. So Mike Weir rushed the green and was rushing towards Nick Taylor. And I just instinctively just followed him. I was running behind Mike Weir, got within about 15 feet. of Nick Taylor, pulled my iPhone out, and then Adam Hadwin comes in to with a bottle of champagne, and I just took a picture at that moment in time when he popped the cork, and I was like right there. And then the security guard runs around and tackles Adam Hadwin, and that was happening. I had no idea that was Adam Hadwin. I didn't know that till later on that night when I watched it on TV. And then the security guard tackled him, and another security guard came at me. And he wasn't rushing me, but I just put my hands up and said, you know, don't worry about me. I'm out of here. You don't have to tackle me. That will be the highlight for me for a – I can't possibly imagine anything ever topping that for me. Just a remarkable sporting moment for me. Gentlemen, 5 minutes left. Let's go around. What is it that we would like to see in 2024?
I'd like to see two things. Bills with a Super Bowl championship and the Toronto Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup. How do you like that?
I wonder.
Wishful thinking, right?
I wish if we put that on, what are those betting sites that we advocate against all the time?
A billion to one.
What would the odds of that be? The Bills winning the Super Bowl, the Toronto Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup. Man, $2 would probably retire me for a long time. Lou, what do you want to see from a sporting perspective in 2024?
I just want to see the great competitiveness of all sports in general. I just think the athletes are a lot better and stronger, and the games at all levels, at all the NFL, NBA, National Hockey League, they have gotten to the extreme, and I just hope it keeps going and the players keep competing and more or less stop crying about small little calls and the money that they're making.
Mike, you're the ultimate Leafs fan, we've thrilled that you've been part of our show for a good chunk of the 10 years. You made such incredibly valuable contributions to our show, and we thank you so much for that. And Lou, of course, we thank you for everything you do and have done for our show. Mike, what do you want to see done in 2024?
Well, I mean, I want them to win every year, and there's only one team I really care about the most out of anything, and you guys all know who that is. And I, you know, as superstitious as I am, I will never go and say I want them to, you know, have the ultimate, but that's what I want. And just to be competitive and give us a chance to win, that's what I really want to see from those guys in blue and white.
My laundry list, and we've talked about this, Naz and I have joked about this on the show. People always ask us, how long are you going to keep doing the show? And we always joke, we're going to keep doing it till the Leafs win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, people always look back at us and say, you know, do you really think you can last that long? Well, we're going to give it a shot. And hopefully we'd love to see it happen this year. You know, have to keep playing like they played this week. You never know. You know, the playoffs is all about catching lightning in a bottle sometimes. And is this Leaf team capable of catching lightning in a bottle? Who knows? Who knows? Depends what Tree Living does at the trade deadline. A couple of holes, but you never know. They can compete with the best in the league on any given night. The question is, can they do it 4 games out of 7? And we're going to find out this spring. Naz, the other bucket list item, the Bills winning the Super Bowl. That we've never had the privilege of that happening. We got close. We got 48 yards close. We got 13 seconds close because that year they lost.
We had wide right many years ago.
Yeah, so we've suffered quite a bit over, although I'm old enough to remember the Bills winning the AFL back in 1964, but it wasn't a Super Bowl. The other thing I'd like to see happen, I'd like to see the Azzurri, my beloved Azzurri, the Italian national soccer team, be restored to some sort of glory. They've had, you know, have them qualify for the World Cup. They won the Euro in 20, whenever it was, a couple of years ago, which was a major surprise. They managed to qualify for the Euro this summer. I'd like to see them play world-class soccer, which they haven't in a while. I'd love to see that. And my beloved, this one, Mike, you will like this one because we're on the same wavelength. I want to see Notre Dame win a national championship football. It's been a long time. I think it's the late 80s, if I'm not mistaken, since they won a national championship. You're a domer like I am, so we certainly want to see that one. So those are my bucket list items. Let's see what can happen. Really quickly, we've got about a minute left. It's Christmas. I'm going to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Really quickly, all four of you guys, in 10 seconds or 15 seconds or less, your favorite Christmas present of all time when you were a kid, Ness?
Table hockey game. With the puck dropping from the...
From the center. Lou, your favorite Christmas
and
present of all time.
And the lights worked on the goal.
And the lights worked behind the net. And when you were a kid.
My first pair of skates.
Your first pair of skates. How old were you?
Eight.
Wonderful. Mike?
My first hockey net.
Your first hockey net. How old were you?
Yep. I was six.
And do you remember the whole thing about how you got it, how your father got it home, or and all of that?
It was set up in front of the tree in the ruin when I came out. Yeah. And I was out in the street playing with it probably an hour later.
Yeah. Mine was table hockey game too, Naz. I was 5 years old. I stayed up till midnight, walked down. We were living at Jane and Lawrence at the time. Walked downstairs, and there it was. And I will remember that for the rest of my life. I always have. It was certainly spectacular. The Christmas season is certainly special. It always has been. And all I can say is to you, Naz, and your family, have a fantastic and Merry Christmas. I'll give you an opportunity to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And whatever happened to Jim Dorey?
Jim Dorey, I don't know. Lou, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and I'll give you an opportunity to pass on your best wishes.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas and Merry Holidays, or Happy Holidays to everybody. Naz, if you want to know where those four guys are, just let me know.
Okay.
I can tell you.
Mike.
I bet you can.
Mike Wilson, I'm going to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and I'll give you an opportunity to pass along your best wishes.
Yeah, same to you guys, and Merry Christmas to everybody out there, and let's look forward to a great new year.
We certainly hope so. Health being the most important component of all of that, and I will say to everybody out there on... please have a Merry Christmas. Please be safe and peace and goodwill toward all men and women. And I hope 2024 is a fantastic and healthy new year for all of you. Thanks so much for listening to us.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.